I would like to read some portions from the Word of God, commencing in the book of Psalms. Shall we read in Psalm 73 and verse 2? But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. With this we'll read from the book of Exodus, chapter 30. The book of Exodus, chapter 30. And verse 13, this they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. There's some other reference to this shekel of the sanctuary, but we will read now in Ezekiel chapter 40. Ezekiel chapter 40. And verse 5. And behold, a wall on the outside of the house, round about, and in the man's hand a measuring reed of 6 cubits long by the cubit and a hand breadth. So he measured the breadth of the building, 1 reed, and the height, 1 reed. Haggai, chapter 1, and verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house is waste? Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it. I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Trust the Lord will bless these portions of his precious word. There is a verse in Isaiah 55 we should have maybe read, where God is saying, my ways are not your ways, nor my thoughts are your thoughts. I have a very simple message this afternoon, contrasting our ways to God's ways. And I'm going to use very simple figures. First of all, I want to think of speaking in all reverence of God's glasses, looking through God's glasses. Psalm 73. The psalmist is beholding everything outside the sanctuary. And he says that his feet nearly slipped. But then he went into the sanctuary and he saw their end. He is looking through God's glasses, the way the world sees things. and the way we should see things. We are looking through God's glasses. But then we also read about the scales of God, God's scales. And there we have the mention of the shekel of the sanctuary. And this expression is repeated in several portions of the Word of God. The shekel of the sanctuary. This is the way that God weighs. We weigh up things according to the scales of the world many times. But let's put them on the scales of God, the scales of the sanctuary. See how God weighs things. But then in Ezekiel we have that rod, that measuring rod, 6 cubits and a handbreadth. The cubit was a different cubit from the usual cubit. It was a cubit to measure the house of God. God's measuring rod. We measure things in our own way, but God has his own measuring rod. And the first thing he measures is the wall around the sanctuary. But then, in fourth place, we have a mention of God's watch. And you will excuse my simplicity, but there it is. They said, it is not time. No, not yet. It is not the time to build the house of God. We have to wait. And they're looking at their own watch. God says, it's not time. Go up to the hill and cut down trees and build a house. It is the time. And we're going to consider God's watch. You might be smiling at these simple thoughts, brethren, but we are living in an age when we have to get a grasp of these eternal realities. First of all, the way God sees things. Are we looking at the things of this world as God sees them? Or do we look at things in the way the world sees them? The psalmist was looking to the world and he was seeing prosperity of the wicked ones. And he says, his feet nearly slipped. They're prospering and look what they're doing. Look how they're acting. Does God not see? But then he goes into the sanctuary and he beholds their end. He is looking at them as God looks at them. He is looking at them through God's glasses. We can look at things the way the world looks at them. And we can be very logic. And we think we have the reason, but let's go into the sanctuary. And look at them as God looks at them. The Lord Jesus Christ came to Bethany and a woman there took that very costly ointment and broke that flask and poured the ointment over him. There was a man that had the look of the world, and do you know what he said? What a waste. What a waste. The others were affected by his commentaries too. What did the Lord say? He was looking at things the way heaven sees them. Let her alone. She hath done what she could. What she could. She had done a good work. The world said, a waste. What did heaven say, a good work. Do you know when we do something for the Lord, as we were hearing already, it won't be long until somebody will be criticizing us. the critics abound. Do they abound here too? In Venezuela there are many. But so they won't criticize you, don't do anything. Those who criticize are those that never do anything. But there is Judas. He's looking at that perfume being poured over the Lord. What a waste. But oh, the Lord sees that gracious act of Mary, wasn't it? A good work. She had done what she could. The Lord could see what she could have done. And the Lord was able to assess her action. How many times we do things, but we don't do what we could do. We fall short from that, right? How many years was she collecting for that perfume? I couldn't tell. 300 denarius, right? It was a long time, but she could say, the Lord is worthy. She had a deep appreciation of the Lord. She spent time at his feet. And she knew the moment was coming when he was going to be lifted up in the tree. And she was preparing him for this moment. She had done a good work. She had done what she could. Are you doing what you can do? Are you trailing a wee bit behind that mark? She had done what she could. Looking through God's glasses, until I went into the sanctuary, he beheld and he could see the things the way God sees them. But then, weighing things in God's scales, the shekel of the sanctuary, you'll forgive me if I don't put the accent on the right letter. The shekel of the sanctuary. And we're going to come back to that in a moment. But God has his scales. And God weighs things in his scales. This world, the nations on the scales of God are only a little bit of dust. A little bit of dust. When you weigh things in the scale, you don't take the dust off, right? That doesn't matter. It doesn't weigh anything. For God, the nations are just a little bit of dust. There are some people that were coming to the temple, bringing their offerings. And some would take out a pile of coins. Everybody could see. A widow came, she had only 2 mites. Is it worthwhile giving 2 mites? She took those 2 mites and put them in there. Let's get out the scales of God and weigh this. What does God say? She gave more than all of them put together. We measure things with the number of zeros behind the comma, right? That isn't the way God measures things. God's scales are different from our scales, right? And God is going to weigh what you are doing and what I am doing in his own scales. That day is coming very, very soon. How are we weighing things today? Are we weighing them on God's scales? She gave more. What she gave was weightier than all that they gave. But then God's measuring rod, similar to the measuring rod in Revelation, that golden measuring rod. And God measures his house with his own measuring rod. How important, what does the house of God measure for you? What does it measure for me? Is it important? Do I go to meeting, well, if I have any time left? What is the importance of the house of God in your measuring rod? Ezekiel was supposed to measure that city with that measuring rod. It was a different length from the rod that they would usually measured with. It was a cubit and a handbreadth. It wasn't just a cubit. It was 6 cubits and a handbreadth, and 6 cubits and 6 handbreadths. It was the measurement of heaven. Are we measuring with God's rod or with our own rod? You've heard of the little boy that told his mother, "Mom, I measure 10 feet. "Yes? How did you measure with 10? How did you measure that?" And he showed his mom the little rod that he had made. "This is a foot." And he measured himself with his own little rod. He measured 10 feet. Do you know, sometimes we are measuring with our own little rod. What about God's measuring rod? The first thing that he measured was a wall. One day the Lord Jesus Christ came to the temple and he took out the measuring rod to measure. Something was dramatically wrong. Do you know what he said? "This is supposed to be a house of prayer. And really it's a den of thieves." To the world it was measured according to their own measuring stick, the house of God. But the Lord took out his measuring rod, a den of thieves. How different does our measuring rod compare with the measuring rod of God? We have to measure God's house with his own measuring rod. But God's watch, and we are again speaking reverently. Say, God doesn't have a watch. God's timing is perfect. "But wait, you got here too late," said Mary. "You got here too late," said Martha. 4 days already, buried. Was the Lord Jesus Christ late or not? He was exactly in time. Moses says, "This is the moment. I am going to free my people." 40 years of age, and he sees that Egyptian. That was an easy task. But he buried him. God says, "No, it's not yet." Moses was out in the wilderness for how many years? Was it not 40? God's watch said, "Not yet, Moses." Sometimes we try to get ahead of God. But isn't it sad when we get behind God? And those people were saying, "It is not time. Not yet. It is not the hour." Are you too busy in your own house? And the house of God is waste? What am I inverting in the house of God? Is my house more important than the house of God? There is God's watch. The Lord didn't arrive too late at Lazarus' tomb. God's glory was going to be manifested there. But there might be a little difference in what different ones think about this. But the priest and the scribe says, not at the Passover. Not at the Passover. What did God's watch say? Has to be at the Passover. He was the Passover, wasn't he? Was it at the Passover or not? I believe it was. God's watch never fails. But I would like to go back to the balance or to the scales of the sanctuary, the shekel of the sanctuary. And there is no time to read these references, but it's interesting that the first reference to this shekel of the sanctuary is in relation to redemption. Redemption. Everyone was going to pay the half shekel. Redemption can only be weighed on the scales of the sanctuary. Can we appreciate the price that was paid at Calvary? Never, right? Redemption can only be weighed on the price of heaven's can only be weighed in the scales of heaven's of heaven. The scales of the sanctuary. Redemption. The price of our redemption. How much did the Lord Jesus Christ pay to redeem your soul, dear brother? Do you know what? He paid the exact amount that he paid to redeem my soul. We have been redeemed with a price, but what a price. What a price. Do we belong to him or do we not? We are his, but with that tremendous price, we shall never know the weight, of course. It is infinite. But then, the second reference to this shekel of the sanctuary, I was looking at Leviticus chapter 5. And that trespass offering had to be weighed with the shekel of the sanctuary. Redemption can only be weighed with this balance, with this scale. But the trespasses, we're living in an age when, well, that's nothing. Let's put it on God's scales. Is it nothing? Sin in some places of this world can't even be mentioned now. But what is our appreciation of sin? For to get saved, we had to understand the seriousness of sin, right? Nobody can ever get saved as long as he doesn't understand the seriousness of his own sin. But after we get saved, do you know there is a danger of just not really using God's scales here? Sin is serious. Let's put the trespass offering on the scales of God. It has to be weighed there. Am I looking at sin as God looks at sin? Is it as serious to me as it is to God? But then the third area where the shekel of the sanctuary is mentioned is Leviticus chapter 27, the consecration. Those offerings of consecration. had to be measured on the scales of God. If you consecrate yourself with a vow, and every person had an estimation of that consecration, an estimation according to the shekel of the sanctuary. Do you know, I thank God for people who I've known in my short life. I would love to be more like them. But we can't measure that consecration in our own minds. Only God can measure that consecration. We can say nice things about it and all the rest, but it is in the Bema, isn't it called? In the Bema, thank you. When God is going to weigh that up in its true value. But some of the things went losing value until the year of the Jubilee. While that year approached more and more, those things were valued less and less. So, applying this to the Lord's coming, dear brethren, all the things that we have right now, we're going to have to say goodbye to them, right? How soon? Quite soon. But they're losing value. Just like the Bolivar in Venezuela, it doesn't worth anything. But the things of this world are losing value. Are we grasping the things that have true value? But the last mention is in number 7. The offerings of those princes were according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And God weighed up each offering. We have already spoken about the widow, right? Each offering was measured up with that shekel, the shekel of the sanctuary. God only knows what it cost me to do this. As we were already hearing in this conference, if it didn't cost me anything, maybe it's not worth very much, is it? But here we are. The way God sees it, the way God weighs it, the way God times it, are our thoughts like God's thoughts? We have to go to this book and see from this book how God sees things. May the Lord bless His word.